Upcoming message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
The title of the message is Buckets. Buckets. I want you to go to John chapter 3. We're going to look at two verses. You're very familiar with them. Verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And aren't you glad? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. And God, we thank you for this verse right here, that you loved us and made a way for us. Father, I pray your blessing, your anointing, your help in sharing these words. Let us receive today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, title of the message is Buckets. You'll understand that here in just a little bit. For God so loved the world. I want to clarify something before we get too far into where I'm going. When it says God loved the world, it's not talking about the planet. Now, I believe God loves his creation, but in this verse, he's talking about the people on the planet. I've heard this verse misapplied. God did not send Jesus to die on a cross so that the world could go green.
No.
I'm all for recycling. I've heard that the blue can and the green can, those big buckets in your driveway, I've heard it all ends up in the same dump yard. I don't know. But we put the plastics here and the trash here. I'm for recycling. I definitely think you ought to pick up your trash. I don't think you ought to throw trash on the ground. I think you ought to be a good steward over the earth. If you change your baby's diaper in your car, you better not leave that dirty thing in the parking lot. That's just a pet peeve. I wanted to get it out. God is the caretaker of this planet. I want to add that as well. While we need to do our part, pick up your trash and do what we can, and, you know, emissions, and I get all of that, but there is a group out there that has gone a little bit crazy and is spending tons of money on themselves. It's corruption, but it's under the idea that we're going to save the planet. Listen, there's reasonable things to do, and then there is unreasonable things that we are doing. In mid-January, a company in France came up with this idea here. Cows wearing diapers and mask, because the mask keeps the burp gases from getting out there, and the diaper keeps the methane gases from getting out there. And as you know, these cows are bad for the climate. Now, we're laughing, but don't be shocked when they come after your meat. I've seen a picture of a cow with a diaper. Man, that just gives another whole thing to do for the farmers. I'm already getting up at 4, now I gotta get up at 3, gotta go change these diapers. Listen, God is gonna take care of the planet. In 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works in it will be burned up. There's your global warming. When God decides he's done with planet Earth, you ain't gonna save it. And the Bible says that the earth will be tested by fire. It will be renewed. There will be a new earth. But church, we're being led by people who don't know Jesus, don't know a thing about the Bible, and don't seem to have much common sense. I'd have been embarrassed to bring it up at a meeting. Hell, how about diapers on cows? For God so loved the world, it was people that he loved. It's not the planet that is the main thing, it's the inhabitants of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's you a clue right there. We're talking about people because it's whosoever. So the world in John 3:16 is talking about faces and not places. Up on the screen, these are pictures I took These are 10 years old maybe now. I took these in Haiti. And I wanted to put them up there because, see, this is the world God loved. It's the people. It's the inhabitants. It's His creation. It's the faces. But I wanted you to see those first three children and notice the smile on their face. It's Mission Sunday. We have supported Haiti a long time. And there was a school out there that I've been to. We've supported that. And we helped buy uniforms and we've helped buy food. But notice the smile and the joy on these little children in Haiti. I'm not going to do it, but I could pull some other pictures of other children that don't have that same smile or that joy. Your gift makes a difference. And then I added the other two. The lady with a bucket on her head, I was kind of scared to take the picture because she looked like she was looking right through me. But as I saw her, I thought, I wonder if this is a daily routine or if this is twice a day or once every other day. How many miles has she walked with that bucket of water on her head? Because they would go to the little stream and you would get your drinking water upstream because downstream was the bathroom. God loves people. God loved the world. It's about souls and not geography. The first Sunday of the month, I told you this, it's Missions Sunday. And sometimes we'll take Mission Sunday and just put a big focus on missions like we're doing today. And sometimes we will just mention it. And we always encourage you to give a second offering on Mission Sunday. Something that's not your tithe, but just something for missions. And we have people that are faithful to do that. Some don't give them the first Sunday, they'll get them the second. We have missions gifts coming in almost every Sunday. And I'm not even talking about World Series anymore. I'm talking about just regular missions giving so that we can support our missionaries on a monthly basis. And so what I want to do is talk to you a little bit and give you some understanding of how we operate with missions and with our funds. We've got an annual business meeting coming up this month. Are you excited? Yeah. And so those that are here, it's open. Not everybody comes. That's all right, because you're good with us and you trust us, and we get that. But for those that do come, we will present reports, and you'll see where every nickel and every dime has gone. But I want to give you just a little bit of a little insight as to how we function around here, and hopefully bring some clarity as well. I have several buckets up here, and each bucket represents a missions person or a missions project. For instance, this bucket right here, Assemblies of God missionaries. Now, Sandy, I don't know if you know a number, you don't have to, but I think right now we're supporting maybe 22 to 25 different missionaries monthly. See, this fluctuates because missionaries go on the field, then they come off the field, so this number is always going up and down, but it has been our goal for a long time to support every South Texas missionary. If they're in our district, we have to draw a line somewhere, and we do get outside of them lines on some occasions. It just depends, but we try to support every South Texas missionary that we have with a monthly gift. I think right now, monthly, we're giving somewhere around $2,400 to $2,500 a month just to support this bucket right here. See, in this bucket, there's a lot of people. This is all the Assemblies of God missionaries. There's a lot of people in that bucket. And here's the thing, too, not as many people in this bucket, but we also have some missionaries that are not part of the AGs. Listen, church, I love the Assemblies of God, but the kingdom of God is much bigger than the Assemblies of God. You don't need to be arguing and fighting and thinking you're better than your Baptist co-worker. Be glad that they're in the kingdom of God. Well, they're believing wrong in some areas, and so are you. I got to get back to the buckets. So we got a lot of people in this bucket. We got some people in that bucket right there. So we support other missionaries. And then we also have what I would just call Assembly of God missions organizations. For instance, this one right here, Speed the Light. A lot of you have heard of Speed the Light. This one is driven by the youth or the students of our denomination in South Texas. And we used to have, they still have it, we just don't do it, Speed the Light Day. And on Speed the Light Day, what they want you to do is to highlight Speed the Light, spend the day talking about Speed the Light, take up an offering for Speed the Light, and send it to the district. Well, we do give to Speed the Light, and we may mention it sometimes on Speed the Light Day, but we don't always do that now because there's a day for everything. There's just a lot of days. And Speed the Light, this is about supporting missionaries by buying a vehicle. We buy planes, trains, and cars. I said trains. I don't think we ever bought a train. But we have bought donkeys. We've bought donkeys. We've bought wheelbarrows. We've bought unicycles. If it has wheels, we have bought it through Speed the Light. And missionaries sometimes need a donkey to get to a hard place, to a village or something like that. So Speed the Light, we get to Speed the Light. They get to the missionary. And so we support that right there. We also have Fire Bible. That's an Assemblies of God missions program. And that's where they take and translate the Bible into the language of this particular place. And I think we've done 50-something Fire Bibles now. And so we support, this is all about getting the Word of God to a place that doesn't have the Bible available to them. A lot of you can pull your phone out right now, and you've got a dozen plus Bibles on your phone. There are preachers that just, they have shreds of paper, and they preach off those pages that they have. And so we give them Bibles through this. It's a good ministry. We support that. And there's probably a Fire Bible Day. I don't remember. BGMC, do y'all remember that one? That's Boys and Girls Missionary Crusade, Buddy Barrel. If you don't know who Buddy Barrel is, don't worry about it. I don't take too much time to catch you up. But this is through the children. And so there's a BGMC day, and we collect our change and other and give offerings into the district. And that helps missionaries in a different way. We've got Light for the Lost over here. This is through the men's ministry. That also deals with the Word of God. And so we've got Assemblies of God missionaries. We've got non-Assemblies of God missionaries. We've got Assemblies of God missions organizations. And then we've got other organizations that are connected to the Assemblies of God, but they're also connected to a lot of other places. For instance, Metro World Child. That's Bill Wilson in New York. Bill was here on this platform last year. An amazing, scary man. Doing a phenomenal work. If you knew his story, and I've told it here before, but if you don't know it, the short version is, as a young boy, he was dropped off on the curb by his mother, and she said, "You wait here till I get back." 3 days later, he was still waiting. And a man picked him up. I think he was 8 years old. A man had noticed him, picked him up, cleaned him up, sent him off to camp. Bill gets saved. He now runs this organization in New York City. They have hundreds and thousands of kids that they minister to. A lot of you parents have gotten nervous about your child leaving America to go on a missions trip. I get that. I would be more nervous if they were going to this area where Bill Wilson is. This man has been stabbed. He's been shot with a gun. Workers, I don't even want to go down the list. He is a general in God's army, and we support him. We support the work in Metro Child. A lot of you, you've heard of this one. Convoy of Hope, right? Convoy of Hope basically is just an 18-wheelers filled up with blankets and water and food. And as soon as there's a crisis, if there's a hurricane, a tornado, a tsunami, whatever the crisis is, Convoy of Hope are almost always first on the scene distributing things to people who just lost everything. There is a permanent station for Convoy of Hope in Haiti. They're there all the time. I love Convoy of Hope. Jeff Swaim, I wish I could get him here. It's just not easy. And he is a phenomenal man of God, and maybe one day you'll get to meet him, but he is over that, and we support them. We support Big Love here. A lot of you know Big Love. Chaney and Jessica Phillips came out of our church and lost their 5-year-old daughter to leukemia, and out of that, Big Love was birthed, and they go to 4 or 5 different hospitals, and they go, and if you go to Texas Children's, the 9th floor is the cancer floor. If you ever go to the 9th floor of Texas Children, that's what's going on. And that's where Jessica lived for a long time. And so now they minister to the hospitals. They go and they minister to cancer families. And whenever they share their story, they have their attention. And they're able to connect in a way that I'm not able to connect. So we support our friends, Chaney and Jessica Phillips. We've already heard a little bit about Teen Challenge this morning. And we support them. We've given more to them lately than we have in a long time. You bought their stove. You bought their vent hood. If you want to go see the place, you have a right. You can go. Maybe they'll make you a biscuit or something on that stove. I don't know. Refuge for Women. That way, not too far down the road. Sex trafficking. We put money in this bucket right here. We put money in every one of these buckets. We've had them come, and we'll have speakers come and share just about their bucket, right, about their ministry. We've had Teen Challenge, Dolly and George, they've been here, and Curtis and the lady there, they've been here. Bill Wilson's been here, Chaney and Jessica. This one here, Pregnancy Help Center, they're going to be here pretty soon. We've got something coming up in the near future with them. But Pregnancy Help Center is there in Lake Jackson. We just went to their banquet. It was phenomenal. They are doing a phenomenal work. Listen, church, we are pro-life. Amen. We're also pro-love. Yes. What that means is we're pro-life. We want the baby to live, but we're also pro-love. We want to love on that mama. Yes. We want to love on that family, and we want to help people through their pain. Yes. So look at all these buckets. I mean, we support every one of those, and we have people come and talk about their bucket. And this is really why every time a missionary comes, I don't give him the whole service. If I gave every missionary the whole service, well, my job would get a lot easier, I'll tell you that. So often they'll give a window, and they'll share about what they're doing, and then we'll go on and go from there. But these are just some of the buckets. We've got these others I didn't even label, but we've got Agora Ministries in San Antonio. We support them. Let me look at my list. Samaritan's Purse, we've done that. We've had water wells dug in places that had no water. There's Strong Tower Ministries in Hitchcock, Texas. Somebody will come out of the church that just needs help with a light bill. Benevolence falls in this category as well. Yes. And so you look at all these buckets and it's like, oh my goodness, which buckets? You know, and here's what we used to do. Let's receive an offering today for this one and this one. And next week we'll receive an offering for this one. And next week we'll receive an offering for this one. And every time a missionary comes, we'll pass the plate and take a second offering. Have y'all noticed we don't ever take second offerings hardly ever? On rare occasion, we'll take a second offering. I think we did with Bill Wilson. But I will always mention that we have an honorarium set aside. And if you want to give on top of that, give it to us, and we'll tack it on to what we're already going to give them. In other words, if somebody comes and talks about their bucket, BGMC, and you're really touched, and it's like, man, I just want to do more than what, I want to give an extra offering to them. You do that, and you designate it, and it will get to them on top of what we're already doing. The reason we don't pass the plate every time we have a guest speaker is because of World Series. We do World Series. We take the offerings. And then when a missionary comes, I have an honorarium, maybe $1,000 just set on the side. He does his thing. He speaks for 10 minutes, gets $1,000. Well, that's pretty good. Yeah. If all he did was speak for 10 minutes, that'd be pretty good. And so we'll give them an honorarium. Maybe more, maybe less, just depending where they're at. It's just a lot of variables. And so we don't pass another plate every time somebody gets up here and steps on the platform. But when you look at this, it can be a little bit overwhelming. And so because there are some that, regularly, every month, my Assemblies of God missionaries, every month they get something. Every month they get something. Every month a lot of these get something. And then sometimes it's just now and then they get an offering. And then sometimes maybe it's a one-time deal. Somebody had a need, we presented one time. It's just kind of, we do as the Lord leads. But I want to kind of simplify this for you. Title of the message is Buckets. And here's what I want to do. Because you can get confused and lost thinking about all these buckets. I want to introduce to you two buckets. Here's one. Can y'all read that? Tithes. Tithes is an offering. That's a bucket. And let me say something about that bucket real quick. This bucket here, at the annual business meeting, you're going to see the money that came to the church. And you're going to think, man, how did they get that much money? This is the bucket. It comes from you. This is the bucket. The Lord's, the tithe, you know what the word tithe means? It means a tenth. It's 10% of your income to the Lord. It's not even really giving to the Lord. It's kind of like returning what is His. I mean, if your mother gives you, $100 and then later you give it back, you didn't give her $100. You returned it. So we're returning what is His because the tithe is His. The first 10% is His. Right? And I've said this many times, and I don't want to go too deep on the tithing aspect of this, but you think, well, 90%, I don't know if I can make it on 90%. Well, what we teach is that 90% that's been redeemed, because when you give the first 10%, it redeems the rest. That's right. And I can bear that on Scripture, don't have the time, but when you 90% redeemed goes further than 100% not redeemed. Amen. There's blessing on the 10%. It puts blessing on the rest. And so this is between you and God. 10% is what He said, and I'm glad He made it 10%. I mean, I'd have been fine with anything. I can do math. Yeah. But for some of you, 10%, He did it for you. You ever had anybody ask, man, I got $100. What is 10% of that? God made it real easy because he knows not everybody is gifted in numbers. So 10%, this is God's bucket. That goes in there. Now, the other 90% is for you to live on and pray about and what to do with it. You should be generous with it and all of that kind of a thing. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to see these buckets. Instead of seeing so many buckets, I'm just going to stack them up. Bucket one. That's what we do. Tithes and missions. We never pull out of this bucket to help the general fund. But we will pull out of the general fund to help with missions. We want to take care of our missionaries. So when we do World Series, so who am I giving to? Speed of the Light? Life of the Lost? Refuge for Women? Which one of them buckets? When you give to World Series, you're giving to missions. And then you're trusting me and the staff to give to the other buckets out of the big bucket called missions. So your tithe and your missions offering. It is our goal here at the church for this amount right here at the end of the year to be at least 10% of what's come in. We think it's good stewardship to give a tithe of our income as a church to the mission field. Last year, we gave 21% of our income to missions. Now, I know what time it is. So real quickly, why missions? Real quickly, four things. Why missions? Number one, all people have a right to hear the gospel. For God so loved the world. We hear the gospel day in and day out. There are still people on the planet that have not had an adequate presentation of the gospel. And the gospel is simply this. You're broken. You're in sin. There's nothing you can do about it. But God sent his son to die in your place, to take your place, to die for your sins. And if you'll simply say yes to Jesus, he'll forgive you of all your sin. Amen. That's the gospel. And everybody has a right to hear that. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. And so we give to missions because we want people to hear the gospel. We want people to hear that are in a broken place. We want them to hear that God can help them. We want them to hear the good news that Jesus is on your side. The second reason, human kindness and decency require action. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:7, the righteous care about justice for the poor. The Proverbs 31 woman, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. If you want to be a Proverbs 31 woman, I used to always refer to Teresa as my Proverbs 30 woman. Just leaving room for improvement. I know that's wrong. The Proverbs 31 woman, you can do all that stuff. Have y'all saw what she does in Proverbs 31? You see all she's doing? That's a busy woman. But if you leave the poor out of all of that, you haven't made it to Proverbs 31. You're just Martha Stewart. Now that was wrong. Martha Stewart might be very kind to the poor. I don't know. So human kindness and decency require action. Number three, good stewardship recognizes the responsibility. We have a responsibility. The Bible says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The Bible says also in Proverbs, the Lord is the maker of both the rich and the poor. There's a lot we don't have in common with the poor, but we have this in common. He's the creator of us, both. One more, Luke 12:48, to whom much has been given, much is required. We were in our Wednesday night Bible study and asking questions and talking about things, and it just, you know, surfaced. Wednesday night Bible study, we just kind of go with the flow there. And just the idea that there are people who really come to bat with two strikes against them. They're born with everything against them. Life is not fair. I can't even find in the Bible where it says God is fair. And I'm not going to try to explain it to you, but the Bible does say God is just. And here's the thing about just. God knows what you have. And God knows what you can do with what you have. And to whom much has been given, much is required. So it's a heavy responsibility to have much. All right, the fourth, God commands it. The Great Commission was to go teach all the nations, discipling them, baptizing them. So the Great Commission was to go. So God commands it. The Great Commission, again, about faces, not places. See, we support missionaries to go to a different, to certain places. We support some to go to Africa and some to go over here to Asia and wherever. But it's not about the place. We're sending them to that place because of the people that inhabit that place, right? Rick Warren, I've said it many times. It is his statement. A great commitment to the great commandments and to the great commission make for a great church. If we'll love God and love people and do our part with missions, we are a great church. Well, how many people go? It's not about the size. It's about health. And church, I'm very pleased with our missions giving. If you're here and you're not involved in missions, start today. Give something. Just do something. Now, I got three more things. Why give to missions? Just gave you four reasons. But I'm going to talk about three things that happen when you do give to missions. And listen, I believe everybody that claims Jesus, everybody that claims to be a Christian should be involved in missions to some extent. What happens when you give to missions? Number one, you help someone. That's just a given. You help someone. You bless someone. Proverbs 14:21, he who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. King James says it this way, he that has mercy on the poor, happy is he. That word blessed often means happy in the scriptures. Happy is the one who does good things for other people. Acts tells us it's more blessed to give than to receive. Obviously, whenever we give to missions, we help somebody. Number two, you position yourself to be helped yourself. You position yourself to be blessed. I want to talk about another bucket here in just a minute. Proverbs 22, verse 9 says this, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Did you get it? A generous man will be blessed. Proverbs 19:17, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Let me give you that in the message. Mercy to the needy, a gift to the needy, is a loan to God, and God pays those loans back in full. See, when you give to the needy, you're giving to God. I've shared a lot of buckets. One more bucket. Go to a water park. We used to have Astro World and Water World. Some of y'all remember that? No longer. But you can go to a lot of these water parks and they'll have some of the same things, you know, the slides and all of that. But they'll have also in the middle of the park, there's often at Water World, they had the big bucket. It's a big bucket up there and water is pouring in the bucket and it's on a hinge. And so when the water would get to a certain point, the weight, it would shift it and that bucket would tip over and all that water and that large bucket would just spill out everywhere. And people, you would see them, because you can tell when the bucket's getting close. People start running from wherever they're at to get there in front of the bucket. You're already in a swimsuit, and you're already wet, so it's not that big a deal. But it'd be a great fundraiser if we could get you out there in a suit and tie. And so everybody just runs, and they stand before the bucket. And then they get washed away with all the water. That's fun. Apparently, I've done it. Listen, you're wet. You might as well. How many do it? Let me see the hands of those that have run to the bucket. Yeah. If you haven't done it, you need to schedule a trip. You need to go do that. So what they're doing, the bucket's about to tip, so they position themselves under the bucket. And I want you to think of God has bucket of blessing. And when you give to the needy, when you give to missions, you are positioning yourself for blessing. So number one, you help someone, but number two, you position yourself to be helped. I had the words blessed. You bless someone, you position yourself to be blessed, and I just chose to go with help instead at the last minute, because I want you to think, I mean, bless, it's a great word. I love God's blessing, but I want you to think in practical terms, you need help, people need help, you can help someone. When you help someone, you help yourself to get helped, all right? And then the third thing, you honor God. Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. You know, if the first two reasons weren't up there, this really is enough to honor God with our resources. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them will receive curses. Church, this is not a big push for missions. We just had that in October. It is Mission Sunday. We want to encourage you to be involved in missions and to give as the Lord would lead to missions, and just label it to missions, and we'll get it in the right bucket. Whenever you label it missions, if we label it World Series or whatever, it goes in this bucket right here. Anything not labeled will go in the general fund, tithes and offering bucket. Conclusion. If you'll take care of bucket one and bucket two, you'll find yourself underneath bucket three. We started with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And from there, we talked about the world. We talked about missions. But with your heads bowed and eyes closed, can I just tell you that if you're here today and you haven't said yes to Jesus, and I'm not just talking about missions, I'm talking to you now. And I want to give opportunity for anybody here who needs to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. Today, maybe you need to, for the very first time, ask him to forgive you of your sins. You might be thinking, well, I'm a pretty good guy. Doesn't matter how good you are. None of us meet the standard. Only Jesus. So we have to lean on him. Or maybe you've just disengaged, drifted away, and you just need to reestablish your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Maybe that's you today. Either way, first time salvation or a rededication of your life, I want to pray for you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, can I see who I'm praying for today? Would you hold your hand up so I can pray for you?
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may his peace be yours today.